Greetings and welcome to the What Difference Does It Make podcast. I am Dave, and as always, I'm joined by my partner, Holly. Back in April of 2020, which seems about 5 years ago, we interviewed Craig Rosen, the journalist, author of the number one albums book for Billboard and his own biography on the band REM. And we had a great time, and we wanted to include part two of this episode. However, things got in the way. We had some deadlines. Other artists had projects they wanted to put in. And Craig, of course, was pushed to the wayside. And we apologize for that because actually Craig's episode was one of our most popular episodes. And so finally, we bring you the sequel. This is Craig Rosen's interview with Holly and Dave on the What Difference Does It Make podcast. Welcome to part two. Let's get started. All right, so meeting your idols. I know your son's name is, what's your son's name?
My son's name is Tyler Steven Rosen.
Okay, so did you ever meet Steve Tyler? Apparently you like this band Aerosmith.
Yeah, I did. I've interviewed him on the phone briefly. I did see him once at a party, and actually Tyler was with me very young. It was at, it was the post party for one of those Nickelodeon awards that was at UCLA.
Oh, fun.
But the funny thing about that, about the Steven Tyler thing, is this guy, when I worked at Billboard, and this guy, Gary Newell, who's this like a sales guy. He's very, very wheeler dealer. He's a legend in his own mind and elsewhere. But anyway, he seems to know everyone, and he really works it. He's one of those guys, schmooze masters. Somehow I think he had a friend in Aerosmith management or something. And he told them that, we just had a kid and named him Tyler Steven. So we got a fax from Steven Tyler, and he, you know, on Aerosmith letterhead saying, "Oh, Steven Tyler or Tyler Steven, I get it. You know, rock on." And that's somewhere in Tyler's baby book. And Tyler, by the way, is not an Aerosmith fan.
What kind of music does he like?
He likes a lot of different things. He just went to like probably the last concert that will ever happen in Los Angeles. He just saw Tame Impala the other night.
Yeah. You're a few years. You have a few years on me. Just a few.
You can say I'm older.
Yeah. Okay. But
I don't. That's but not
because
older.
Of,
yeah.
But because of that, I mean it. When you're a teenager, that's a huge thing. So you were 16.
More experienced.
You were able to see a lot of these bands. Like you got to see Fear, or you got to see,
Yeah, I did see.
You went to the Whiskey.
I saw a lot of great shows. Yeah, I do have a box of ticket stubs and, you know, little ads and stuff that I cut out. Someday when I have time, I want to make an Excel spreadsheet of every show because sometimes I forget. But,
that's what retirement's for.
Yeah, exactly. Put that on the list with along with digitizing all those interviews on cassettes.
Do you remember?
You do that sooner rather than later, right? Yeah. I'm afraid they'll disintegrate.
Right. Except I did buy some little cheap Walkman type device, but I don't have a good cassette player. They all broke. Yeah.
We just did that too. We just bought one. We realized we didn't have one after Neil Peart died. Steve had out my husband had all these interviews from back in the 80s that he had recorded, not that he had done.
Wanted
to go back and listen to them.
Wow.
And so we bought a cheapy Walkman. They're not easy to find.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I bought this one I saw advertised on Facebook, I think, or something, but it's really junk. It's really plasticky. It's supposed to, like, you know, easy to make digital copies because you could plug it right into your computer, but I mean, there's stuff to do that with anyway. Yeah. Now, yeah, the new podcast, cassettes, the future.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. The preferred format of the future.
All we have to do is just make sure the red light is on and we're good.
Yeah.
Instead of having the two play and record.
I want to start new adventures in retail. And it would have been huge. I kind of missed the moment now with Armageddon coming. But I'm really into like Costco and Trader Joe's. And I guess there's the other store, Aldi, which I wasn't really aware of. But Dave DeMartino, who I mentioned earlier, and you can cut this out if you want. when I teach a spin class in Simi Valley, so I have a little time driving home, and I usually end up calling him. And I usually go to Costco before I talk to him. So we frequently talk about, like, Costco and things at Costco. And it's kind of funny because we used to talk about music, and now we talk about shopping and yogurt bars and different things you can find at Costco. And I really think it's the future.
Sure.
new adventures in retail. That's the podcast. Look for it coming soon.
Can't wait.
Middle age. There has to be a good name for this.
And you also mentioned, Holly, I think you mentioned that you were going to get replaced. I think before you started this, a long time ago, Dave and I had a few discussions, but I don't know if you knew this.
Am I going to be replaced? Is he auditioning today?
No, that's right. No, but I thought my idea for a title for a podcast was Two Jews and a Microphone.
We can still use that.
Yeah, I know. It still works.
Because then it's kind of like free form. You can talk about anything. You can talk about Costco.
You just want to talk about Costco.
You can talk about Lou Reed and talk about toilet paper and David Geffen.
Well, we've never talked about David Geffen.
Yeah. Bring me the head of David Geffen, as Mojo Nixon once said. Yeah.
Well, you've met. You wrote the liners for that.
I did. It's coming
Mojo
out.
Nixon, not David Geffen.
Yeah, yeah. Coming out soon. It's 27th of March, I think. 10 CD Mojo Nixon box set. What a concept. Who would ever have thought that?
There's enough Mojo Nixon material for there, 10
he has,
CDs?
Well, it's his albums. It's 10 albums. I didn't realize. I was kind of shocked when, I was, doing the background that, to learn that I had 5 of his albums. I couldn't believe that. I think like 3 on vinyl and 2 CDs. I was kind of surprised by that.
Wow. Promo?
Yes, of course.
Of course, yeah.
And right. And of course, all roads lead to REM. The first time that I saw Mojo Nixon was after an REM show in San Diego. And Peter Buck came to the show. And it's funny, my friend Dan Perloff, who works at Manifesto, that's putting out the box set, got me the liner notes writing gig. I think he's childhood friends with my cousin, and they were just kind of hanging out. And Dan was joking around, and he took like a beer bottle and kind of poured it over my cousin's head, but it was empty. It's kind of like a joke. And Peter Buck saw that, and he took a beer bottle and poured it on Dan's head, but there was actual beer. So Dan got a little beer shower, and then
protecting you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why he did. He was defending you, Peter Buck.
Maybe
saying,
I don't think he knew me then. I mean, I was just there. I didn't. And then we were gonna. My friend and I can't even remember who it was, but we were gonna sleep over at my cousin's house because San Diego is kind of late, and we were following them. In my Carmen Ghia, and Dan, I got stopped at a light, and Dan pulled into a Jack in a Box drive-through the wrong way to wait for me, and then he pulled out in reverse and got pulled over, and he got busted. He actually got arrested for drunk driving that night, and. Yeah. Story's not over yet.
Yeah, I know.
Just keeps going. I'm so full of shit. It's hard to believe.
Should I tune out now? I'm afraid of where this is going.
No, it's harmless. It could have gone bad, but I mean, it did go bad, but it could have been worse. But, so we decide to drive home. Before cell phones are actually, we didn't have one. Who knows? Maybe it was back in the days of the bricks, brick phones.
Yeah.
So we decide to drive home. It's probably like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I get a flat tire on the freeway in the middle of nowhere near Camp Pendleton. And I had my Carmen Ghia had like these big tires on it. I was like kind of tricked out. I didn't do that, but that's the way I bought it with my bar mitzvah money, by the way. And then, so we're not sure what to do, no phone. We're in the middle of nowhere. So I don't know if I actually hitchhiked, but some guy, like a Marine guy pulled over. And, could have this is the part that could have ended badly, but he was a perfectly nice guy. He took me to a gas station where I called my father, and he gave me the credit card. I didn't even have a credit card. He gave me the credit card number so I could buy a tire or to, replace it. And
at 2 in the morning?
Yeah, eventually it was light out. We made it by home, the next morning, but it was an ordeal.
Can you imagine allowing your kids to do something like this?
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that Joel, our long-lost great friend that Dave and I met through, used to say that, when we were younger, our parents just didn't care. We just ran wild, and it was pretty much true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was that way for you.
You called if you were going to be late, or you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I was the younger one, but I just really did whatever the hell I wanted to.
Got to go to these shows. If your mom knew who Fear was, I'm going to go see Fear. Like, have a good time.
Yeah, some of them were quite scary. I mean, I remember the public image show at the Olympic Auditorium was really frightening. That was their first appearance in L.A. And I think Los Lobos opened. I don't know if I was there for that. I can't remember, but I think they got pelted with garbage. And even Public Image did. They got spat on and stuff thrown at them. But it was really scary. I mean, some of those punk rock shows were scary. I'm super surprised I went. And I don't know. There was always a lot of, not only the band Fear, but there was Fear. There is definitely Fear there. I remember. I think Joel was scared. Yeah. And I was too.
Well, this seems like a good time as any to take a break, so let's stop it right here.
Hey, Pantheon listeners. Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to What Difference Does It Make?
Did you see the germs or any of those?
I didn't see the germs, but I did see Darby crash at a show once. This is another another tangent. A great band, great unsung LA punk band, The Gears. That was sort of like this surf punk band with a singer, Axel G. Reese, years before anyone would hear of Axl Rose. And they played the On Club, and we were watching them. It was a great show, and all of a sudden, this tall guy with this huge mohawk shows up, and, you know, he's, like, behind me. And Axel G. Reese says from the stage, "All right, everybody could have fun now because Darby's here." And that was Darby Crash. And he had just come back from London, I think. He was Darby Crash was into Adam and the Ants, and he was influenced by Adam Ant, and he got into, like, the mohawk, I think, through Adam and the Ants. Which is weird. You wouldn't think that, but
no,
it's true.
It doesn't connect.
And yeah, and another Adam and the Ants punk rock tangent. At one point, it was probably when, like, Kings of the Wild Frontier first came out, there was a big deal at Tower Records on Sunset, and they had, like, this little Adam and the Ants sort of, like, parade or float or something, but the band made an appearance, and all the punk rockers showed up, and they were, like, passing out stickers that said "Black Flag kills ants on contact." So it was, I liked them both though. I mean, I liked, you know, Adam and the Ants were, you know, commercial, and, you know, it was pretty polished and almost kind of teeny bopper glam. And, you know, Black Flag was really, you know, kind of grungy punk rock.
Yeah.
But I liked them both.
You have varied taste. That's,
yeah. Yeah, I still do. Try to.
Still, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, around that time, I'm sure I was like a snob and I dismissed, you know, popular top 40 music and everything. But when you guys probably experience this too, when you have children and you kind of get into what they're listening to and what they like. And I remember, like, listening to Radio Disney and, you know, we went through early Britney and and the Spice Girls, and even at one point, my daughter's first bike, and I wish we would have kept it, Spice Girls BMX bike. It was so awesome with training wheels, and then it came with this little radio boombox that strapped onto the crossbar on the handlebars.
Oh,
it was so awesome. I really wish we would have. I think you can find them on eBay, but I wish I would have kept it. Could be right there, up there in my messy office.
Yeah, hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you know then? You know, you don't know.
Yeah. I wish I would have kept that. But yeah, I try to be open to pop music. But I do have to say that I do have her Niall Horan doll.
Oh,
the
nice.
One Direction doll.
He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Their post-career, their post-One
really?
Direction career. Yeah.
Really? That's unusual. Everybody loves Harry Styles.
New album out today, right?
Including, Niall, he was trending last night. The title of More Work Damage. The title of Norin, is that his
Niall.
Name? Niall. I'm combining names.
That's his pet name.
Yeah. Norin. It's the new name, one name. Zane's one name, so maybe he needs to be one name.
All right. So which shows did you take your kids to, and which shows did your kids take you to that you think both parties enjoyed possibly?
Yeah. Well, we did see, saw Britney twice, saw Britney at the Forum and then Staples Center.
And what was your reaction to that?
It's all right. I mean, once I think I reviewed the Staples Center show. I mean, I can't remember what I wrote, but, you know, probably about her lip syncing, but it was, you know, entertaining, you know, it's kind of, you know, pop garbage. It's entertaining. It's flashy. It's, you know. And we saw the Spice Girls at the Forum.
Ooh.
And
all five?
Yeah. The original Fab Five.
Let's talk about how you're currently a spin instructor. I mean, that's one of your many jobs.
Yeah.
But you do get to make playlists. So how do you determine your playlist? What goes into that? I'm sure you put a lot of thought into this.
I do. It sort of like goes hand in hand. It's kind of like awesome. I mean, when you get to that point when you're, you know, when the great song comes in and you're like really pushing, you know, you hit that sort of nirvana, not the band, but you know, you reach that sort of point where, you know, the endorphins are flowing and the lights are off, the music's loud. It's almost like being at a concert. It's almost, yeah, it's almost that experience. And it's like, I'm not really like a Bruce head, but I swear I heard, you know, Born to Run once in that, like that class, that Michael Guy's class. And it was just like a religious experience. And yeah, I'm not lying. It was great. It was awesome. I mean, so yeah, so,
I think it's great. I think yeah. It's great. But
so now you yeah. listen. Yeah. So now you listen to songs when you're reviewing songs. Is it instead of beats yeah. per minute, it spins
no,
per minute?
No, or no, what? No. It's not scientific at all.
Okay. Really,
well, it is. I
you have your own science.
I'm so happy to talk about this. You wouldn't believe it. I always think in my head how I would like to talk about this. Maybe I mentioned it in my class, but what I do is my favorite app is Shazam. Yeah. And when I hear anything that I think would be good, so, you know, sometimes it's songs that I don't know, but often it's, you know, stuff that I do know. I just Shazam it. And then when I go to, you know, it's time to start making a new playlist, I look at my Shazam songs and then I just kind of throw it together. Then I, you know, try to make sense of it, put it in order and try to, you know, think of, you know, if that should be sprints on the 20 seconds with 20 seconds recovery, or, you know, that should be a climb or, yeah, it's very.
Lyrically,
that's
do you think?
That's
lyrically, I sometimes do that. I mean, I did do like a lot of themes, but it really, I hit the wall with that, got really dopey at one point. It was really embarrassing. I think I did like a Memorial Day one that was really grim. And I think like it, you know, like
The Unknown Shoulder by The Doors.
Yeah, it was like Fortunate yeah. Son, War. And it was like, I think like everybody, by the time we were done, like everybody was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and wanted to commit suicide, including myself. So we used Suicide is Painless as the cool down music. That's not true. That's a joke, that part. It would have been good.
See, now regrets on like, yeah, oh, next time.
Yeah, actually, I'm thinking of pitching a piece, an essay on the, you know, the challenges of coming up with playlists for a spin class.
Yeah,
because it's an hour, right?
You got to fill an hour.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, you know, it's all different ages, mostly about my age, maybe a little younger, mostly female. Me being stubborn, I want to like do songs that I like that motivate me, but you have to sort of like cater to the crowd and
yeah.
songs that they like, and it's a delicate balance, really. It's
yeah.
You may have heard me say this before, that the awesome thing about Hebrew school is that I could be a tough guy in Hebrew school because all the nice sure. Jewish boys, you know, I couldn't pull it off in regular school, but in Hebrew school I was a friggin' badass.
Yeah, sure.
You weren't a bully, not a bully.
No, just the cool,
just like the popular,
just the cool rebel.
Sure.
Rebel without a clue to speak.
So which
rebel without a clue to speak in Hebrew. I think that's it. I can't even speak it.
Did you ever talk to Paul Westerberg?
I think I might have. Yeah, I have. Yeah, I think I might have done a phone, but I did a live. I did an interview with him in person when Pleased to Meet Me came out with the band, and Tommy Stinson totally busted my chops.
Because
it was when it was shortly after they were on the cover of Musician magazine, and Craig, being the lazy journalist that he is, why am I talking
speaking of yourself?
Yeah. I know that's obnoxious, but you know, I read the Musician story and I took notes, and that's where my questions came from. And so Tommy's like, he
called you out.
Yeah, he's like, you're just asking us everything you read in the Musician magazine. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're right. What could I say?
Good on Tommy. All right, so you're a list guy. Should we go top five concerts?
Well, I can do it, but
I mean,
just, yeah, I kind of hate lists.
Okay,
they give me like a headache.
Okay, I don't want to do that.
They make me. I can rattle off some,
but just
concerts.
Your top, the ones that most that meant the most to you.
Okay. And there could be sprinkled with some that meant the least to you.
Okay, yeah.
Most memorable.
There's one that comes up right away, and it's not REM. Stunning. What? Okay, the Clash at the Roxy. It was a midnight show, and it was a surprise midnight show on a Sunday night, and it was $5 to get in. It was Rodney on the Rock announced it. It was the weekend that they played the ABC show Fridays, so they were in town. That Saturday Night Live sort of inspired ripoff show. You know, I heard about it on the radio, so we went. My friends and I went down there. We waited in line. We were like pushed up against the box office and didn't give up. And eventually, we got in, and we were kind of in the back. And when Brand New Cadillac started up, like the crowd went crazy, like slam dancing, and all of a sudden we were in the front of the stage and, you know, enjoyed the show. When the curtain went down for the encore, the crowd ripped the curtain down at their Roxy, the red velvet curtain.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was an awesome show. Yeah, that was.
All right. So there's one song. That's one concert.
What else?
So you saw, would English Beat REM be on there, or is that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, definitely an REM show somewhere. Probably, I guess it was my first punk rock show, I would say. The X and the Go-Go's at UCLA Ackerman Hall. And that was when the Go-Go's were a punk rock band, and that was before they even put out the Stiff single. Very, very early on, I was fortunate enough to see them a lot, and X a lot. Who else? I mean, I don't know if this would be a favorite, but it's, you know, a memorable show. This band called the Rubber City Rebels that were from, I think they're from Ohio. They played the Whiskey, and that was, I think that was my first like club show at the Whiskey. And, you know, us Valley boys were a little intimidated by the Hollywood thing. So we went up to the balcony, and it wasn't, they were kind of like a power pop band, maybe a little punky, but their big single was Young and Dumb. That's a good song. But, you know, we're watching from the balcony, and some guy had a jacket tied around his waist, and somebody lit it on fire. And that was like, that was like, whoa, I'm in. This is it.
I found my career. This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life.
Yeah, I'm going to go to club shows. So that was a memorable show. What else? I saw Motley Crue. And speaking of Motley Crue and X, I did see them once at the Roxy. And I did, the way I ended up going is because I wanted tickets to see X at the Country Club. And the publicist said, if you go see Motley Crue at the Roxy, we'll give you X tickets. True story.
So they're trying to pawn off the Motley Crue tickets?
Yeah. And
so you saw Too Fast for Love.
And I think the big thing then that they would light Nikki Sixx on fire. That was like one of the big draws. And the flames only came up to like his shins. I was so disappointed. It was just such, you know, I really expected him to be like a full-on fireball. I mean,
is that over? And what about Aerosmith on their list?
I was going to mention that. That was another Aerosmith arena show. I mean, or actually stadium show. But I did see Aerosmith a bunch of times. But the first time I saw them was at the Long Beach Arena with this band you might have heard of called AC/DC opening up. And Angus Young showed us his bare ass. It was wonderful.
He always did.
Yeah.
That was, still remember that.
But
you could do that? Oh my God.
Right. Yeah, rock and roll.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you were probably 15 at the, what
probably
year was that?
78. Yeah. 15. Yeah. Well, this next one was definitely 78, I think, April 78. There was a show, the California World Music Festival, which was also at the Coliseum. And that was headlined the day I went. It was headlined by Aerosmith, but they had the hotshot new band Van Halen also on the bill. Van Halen was really great, and people were leaving during Aerosmith, and I was like, "What the hell are you doing? Sit your ass back down in that chair! How dare you?" You know. And opening that show was the Boomtown Rats, and you know, they were like punk rock there, you know, compared to those other bands.
Yeah.
I remember Bob Geldof, you know, years before camera phones, I think he probably had a Polaroid or something, but he said to the crowd, you know, "Oh, everybody hold up your hand or whatever, wave, because, you know, the folks back home aren't going to believe this." So everybody flipped them off because they didn't like the Boomtown Rats. They were too punky for those hard rock and crowd in the late 70s. And I wanted to mention this. I'll back into this.
No, it's not.
All roads lead to REM.
Sort of. But yeah, the name of your show, What Difference Does It Make? I can distinctly remember buying that single, my first Smiths record, at Texas Records in Santa Monica.
Hey.
Yeah. And yeah, it, you know, before the first album came out, that wasn't the first Smiths single, but that was the first one that I heard. And I heard it on Rodney and the Rock.
That great intro.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right
now.
Yay.
We should wrap this up. Thanks, Craig, for
You're
showing
welcome.
Up. This has been amazing.
Thank you
for letting me babble like an idiot.
I know.
I feel like there are way just, more stories
yeah.
to be had.
We're just scratching the surface.
Well, again, thank you so much, Craig, for coming
You're
out.
Welcome.
This was so much fun.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Holly. Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
This is awesome. Yeah. I hope you'll come back and share some more stories.
Until next time, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.